Welcome to Ekhatra Dialogue, a journey through timeless literature. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekhatra AI.
Welcome, everyone. Today, we're diving deep into a really powerful novel, Denys Lehane's Small Mercies from 2023. Let me tell you, this one, it hits hard. It's more than just your standard crime story.
Absolutely. It's pure Lehane, but maybe even more concentrated. You know, he's a giant in American crime fiction. Thank Mystic River, Gone Baby, Gone. Always Boston, always gritty, always exploring those really complex moral corners.
Right.
But Small Mercies feels like a return, almost primal. He goes right back to South Boston, using that thriller framework to really dissect things like trauma, loyalty, and some deep societal wounds.
And the setting itself is almost in a character, isn't it? We're dropped right into Southeast, summer of 74. It feels close, suffocating almost.
You really have to get that context. 1974 South Boston was a pressure cooker. The main backdrop is the busing crisis court-ordered desegregation hitting this incredibly tight-knit, fiercely Irish-American neighborhood.
So not exactly a peaceful time. Not at all. It was volatile. Violent protests, deep-seated racial tension, this feeling of being under siege from the outside world. It was already simmering, you know. Lehane just turns up the heat.
So what we have is this blend. It works as this really taut crime thriller. You're turning the pages. But it's also this devastating family drama. And on top of that, a pretty searing look at racism and its legacy.
Exactly. And all that intensity, all that commentary, it's funneled through one person, Mary Pat Phinisey. She is kind of the raw, broken heart of the whole story.
Let's talk about her. Mary Pat, she's 42, lives in the projects. Life hasn't exactly been kind to her, has it?
No, not at all. She's already buried, a son lost to heroin, a husband to an overdose. She's, you know, hard, definitely hardened. But her entire world, everything she cares about, is focused laser-tight on her 17-year-old daughter, Jules.
That one anchor.
And Lehane, well, he rips it away almost immediately. It's one of those sticky, awful summer nights in 74. Jules goes out, and she doesn't come back.
And that feeling for Mary Pat, it must shift so fast from maybe annoyance to just cold dread.
Instantly. It's that deep primal fear any parent would recognize. And that fear becomes the engine for everything she does next. It just consumes her.
And Lehane ramps up the tension immediately by introducing this parallel event. The same night, Jules disappears.
Right. The same night, a young black man, Augustus Williamson, they call him Augie, he's found dead. On the subway tracks nearby.
Two tragedies on the same night, in the same small area.
Yeah, but the police, they see it differently. Or maybe they choose to see it differently. They treat them as separate things. You know, the white girl probably ran off. The black kid, well, likely another casualty of the racial tensions. Case closed, almost.
But Mary Pat doesn't buy that separation.
Not for a second. It's instinct. Something deeper than logic tells her these two events, her daughter vanishing and Augie's death, are linked. Horribly tangled together.
And that gut feeling, that certainty, kicks off the main conflict, right? Her search for answers.
It does. And it forces her to basically turn her world inside out. Because what happens when that fierce, almost animalistic mother love slams right into the wall of silence? The unspoken rules of Southie.
That code.
That toxic loyalty code. We take care of our own, but what does that really mean? Especially when the person enforcing it is someone like Marty Butler.
Okay, so Marty Butler, he's the antagonist.
He's the systemic antagonist, yeah. He's not just a thug. He runs the neighborhood's criminal side, the drugs, all of it. But more than that, he's the enforcer of that silence. Quietly menacing, you know. He embodies the hypocrisy, holding the community together, or maybe holding it captive.
So when Mary Pat starts asking questions about Jules.
The shutters come down hard.
Yeah.
We take care of our own suddenly means keep your mouth shut. She gets evasions, lies, hostility, even from Jules' friends, kids connected to Butler's crew. The code turns against her.
It's designed to protect the system, not the individual seeking truth.
Exactly. And we need to be clear about Mary Pat here. She's no saint. She's part of this world. We see her at the anti-busing protests. She shares some of those ingrained prejudices. She's a product of Southie.
Flawed, definitely.
Deeply flawed.
Yeah.
And her methods, they're not subtle. She needs answers. She corners a kid she thinks is lying, and she physically assaults him. She operates outside the official law, driven by her own raw code.
That kind of directness must get noticed.
Oh, it does. It gets Marty Butler's attention. He summons her, gives her the warning. Stop. Stop asking questions. Let it lie.
The classic intimidation tactic.
Yeah, but it completely backfires with Mary Pat. Instead of backing down, she's ignited.
Mm.
That warning confirms her worst fears. Butler isn't protecting anyone. He's hiding something. actively suppressing the truth.
So her quest changes then. It's not just finding Jules anymore.
No, it becomes defiance. It's her against the whole rotten structure. The myth of Southie loyalty just crumbles in front of her. She sees it for the self-serving lie it is.
But she can't do it alone. She needs information, allies, even reluctant ones.
Which brings in Detective Bobby Coyne. He's also from Southie, a homicide detective, trying to do his job in a place where being a rat is the worst possible sin. He's caught, you know, between the badge and the neighborhood.
So he's her foil, in a way. Official justice versus something else.
Precisely. Coyne is the slow, careful procedure. Mary Pat is raw, immediate personal justice. They form this really uneasy alliance, full of suspicion, but it's through Coyne that she starts to get the first pieces of the actual truth.
And that first piece, it's devastating, isn't it, about Jules' involvement with Augie's death.
It's gut-wrenching. She finds out that Jules and her friends were part of it. They chased Augie, screaming racist slurs, terrified him until he fell onto those tracks. Mary Pat has to face that her own daughter participated in this hateful act.
An act fueled by the very prejudice that permeates their whole world, maybe even her own home.
It's that idea of generational poison made real. The hatred is just ambient, normal, and it leads to this kind of thoughtless, deadly violence. But this is Lethane, remember. It gets darker.
Wait, so the full truth isn't just about Augie's death?
No.
Yeah.
No, that's just the first layer. Mary Pat eventually forces the full story out of someone, and it's unbearable.
What happened?
Jules, apparently overcome with guilt right after Augie died, told her friends she was going to the police. She was going to confess everything. And these friends' kids, whose families are deep in Butler's syndicate, they realized what that meant. Her confession would expose everything. Their parents, the drugs, the whole operation.
So to protect the system.
To protect the system, to enforce the silence. Jules' own friends murdered her. They killed her to shut her up and got rid of the body.
Her own friends. Children of the neighborhood. That's the ultimate betrayal. It just demolishes that whole take care of our own idea.
Completely. It reveals the absolute horror at the core of it. The community didn't just foster the hate that killed Augie. It murdered one of its own children to cover it up. That's the shattering realization for Mary Pat.
That phrase you mentioned the source used, the devil was in the whole damn thing. That lands hard now.
It does. Everything she believed in, loyalty, community, safety, it was all built on a foundation of lies and violence.
Yeah.
There's nothing left for her.
And when there's nothing left to lose,
she becomes something else entirely. The sources call her the Avenging Angel. She's lost her kids, her faith, everything. All that's left is vengeance. Pure, cold, focused vengeance. And she is terrifying.
Because she has no fear left.
None. No hope. No fear. She knows the neighborhood secrets, its weak spots, who did what, and she goes after them, systematically. Dismantling Butler's entire operation, taking out those responsible for Jules' murder with this chilling precision.
It leads to a final showdown, right? With Butler himself.
Yeah. A bloody, scorched earth finale. She ensures his destruction, knowing full well it's going to cost her own life. She makes that trade.
Which brings us back to the title, Small Mercies. That final act of annihilation, it's the only mercy left for her.
That seems to be the grim calculus, yeah. A terrible kind of mercy. Total destruction is the only available form of justice. A life for a life, or maybe a soul for the truth.
Wow. Okay, so we've walked through the plot, which is intense, but let's unpack the why. What is Lethane really digging into here? Those big themes that make it more than just a thriller.
Right. I think the first, and maybe the most central, is this brutal deconstruction of the myth of community and tribalism. That Southie loyalty, that code of silence, Lethane shows it as a cage.
A cage built of fear and complicity.
Exactly. It demands conformity, it protects the powerful, and allows monstrous things to happen under the guise of unity. Mary Pat's journey is ultimately this violent rejection of that tribe. She chooses truth over belonging, even if it means burning everything down.
Which connects to the second major theme, doesn't it? The racism as a generational poison.
Directly. Because the novel is unflinching about how that hatred isn't just, you know, villains and hoods. It's woven into everyday life, casual language passed down. It becomes normalized, almost invisible to those inside it, until it explodes into violence like Augie's death.
And Mary Pat herself isn't immune. Her journey includes confronting her own complicity in that atmosphere.
That's crucial. Her enlightenment isn't just about who killed Jules, but why they felt they could, why they had to. It's tied to that whole culture of prejudice and silence they all have built.
Which brings us to the third theme, the corrosive nature of silence. That seems to be the engine of the whole tragedy.
It really is. Silence is the weapon and the shield in Southie. It allows the darkness to fester, protects the guilty, and ultimately enables both murders. Mary Pat's final act, however destructive, is about shattering that silence, dragging the secrets out.
So her victory, if you can call it that, is forcing the truth out, even at the cost of her own life.
A very particular kind of literary justice, yeah. And speaking of literature, Lathain's style here is key to making it all land with such force.
How so?
Well, the narrative itself is incredibly propulsive. You can't put it down. But the real power comes from that tight, third-person, limited perspective. We are stuck right inside Mary Pat's head, seeing everything through her eyes.
No distance. We feel her grief, her rage, that chilling resolve.
We feel it all. And the prose itself, it's described as lean and muscular. It captures the rhythm of Southey, the tough talk, the coded language. It feels utterly authentic, visceral.
And the imagery supports that, right? The heat.
The heat is relentless. It's not just weather. It's a metaphor for everything simmering just below the surface. The racial tension, the social pressure. And the projects themselves feel like this enclosed space, a prison trapping secrets.
It all comes together to underscore maybe the most powerful undercurrent. Maternal grief as a primal force. Her rage isn't just sadness.
No, it's active. It's fuel. It's this unstoppable, almost elemental power that lets this one woman, who has nothing, basically dismantle an entire criminal world. It's motherhood twisted into this terrifying, destructive force.
So when you finish Small Mercies, there are no easy answers left. It really makes you question those comforting narratives we have about community, about belonging.
Definitely. It forces you to look at the cost of silence, the price of that unquestioning loyalty. And it shows how sometimes the deepest love and the most extreme violence can spring from the exact same broken heart.
A truly profound and honestly necessary book. It shows personal transformation, even if it leads to destruction, as maybe the only form of social justice left in such a broken place.
It's a heavy hitter for sure. It suggests that sometimes facing the ugliest truths requires sacrificing absolutely everything. This conversation ends here. We'll meet again with another unique work of world literature. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.